Hello, Zimbabwe, and welcome to Live Talk. We're coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington, and I'm your host, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Today on Live Talk, we are looking at the developments surrounding the legitimacy of one Sengezo Chabangu, who is being challenged in court by the CCC, who say he is not their Secretary General and therefore has no right to recall lawmakers and councillors. But first, a deal between Israel and Hamas to free dozens of hostages held in Palestinian territories may be underway, according to a new report. Such a deal would likely bring at least a temporary pause to the fighting in Gaza and much-needed aid across the border. U.S. and Israeli officials say any such deal is not yet finalized. VOA's Arash Arabisadi has more.
The Washington Post reports that Israel and the U.S.-designated terror group Hamas are now close to agreement on a U.S.-brokered deal to release dozens of hostages taken by Hamas in exchange for a five-day pause in fighting that would allow a significant boost to humanitarian aid.
We are not finished. There is not yet a deal in place, and I think it would be premature to conclude that this is inevitable, given how close we have come in the past. And I think one thing that I won't do is go through all the outstanding areas in which there are still negotiations. We don't negotiate these things in public, but it is a very high priority to try to get this done. They're making some progress, and we hope that that will be concluded soon so that these people can finally come home.
Israel's military has been conducting ongoing assaults on Gaza since Hamas brazenly attacked the country on October 7. About 1,200 people died in that attack, with what's believed to be around 240 hostages taken, many still missing.
We are hopeful that we can get a significant number of hostages freed in the coming days. I don't want to go into the details of these talks. They are obviously very sensitive. The less we go into the details, the better the chances of such a deal. But they are very serious efforts, and I'm hopeful that we can have a deal in the coming days.
In the weeks following October 7, Israeli airstrikes and ground offensives killed more than 12,000 Palestinians, most of them civilians, according to the Palestinian Health Ministry in the West Bank. The United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees, or UNRWA, estimates about 900,000 displaced people are sheltering in their facilities across the Gaza Strip, a number six times higher than their planned worst-case scenario. The World Health Organization reports Gaza's largest medical facility, the Shifa Hospital, is littered with medical and solid waste, with a mass grave holding at least 80 bodies outside. But a recent effort by the WHO and the UN successfully evacuated premature babies to a site south of the facility.
But for many of them, it's just, you know, they're thinking about how they provide for their family tomorrow. But increasingly, people are very worried about what does the future hold for them. Where are they going to live? Where are they going to get their children educated? What does the future hold? And that's the big question in the minds of Gazans right now.
The back and forth between Israel and Hamas is now in its sixth week, with only a fraction of humanitarian aid having so far reached Palestinian civilians caught in the crossfire. For them, a pause in fighting could mean the difference between death and life-saving supplies that cross the border. Arash Arabisadi, VOA News.
Sue Kolb loved owning alpacas so much that she created an alpaca farm in Upper Marlboro, Maryland, where visitors can interact and learn about these adorable animals. Colby, a retired U.S. Army colonel and former Pentagon employee, now enjoys her dream retirement on her scenic farm. Mia Kay has the story.
I learned about alpacas about 2 years before I was going to retire. So I spent up to 34 years and 9 months in the military overall. So I started this business about 10 years ago, but really it started out as a hobby. I really enjoyed being around the alpacas. I had four of them that I started with. But then I purchased some more, and I also bred, and more alpacas were born here on the farm. So now I have 37 alpacas. They love to be, you know, they have to be next to their mom because they're still nursing. But they love to frolic and run around and race. They go so fast. They'll run down the pasture and run back, and they want other kriyas to chase after them, and they play. It's just like little kids. It's adorable. For a number of years, it was not profitable. Unless you can really find an outlet for your alpaca fleece. But I found that giving the tours has really been nice. I enjoy it. I enjoy sharing my alpacas with other people. I opened a shop. I opened my alpaca shop here on the farm. And then after the tour, I take people in there. Everything in there is made out of alpaca, and people really love the items in there. Well, I wanted to raise some animals that I didn't need to slaughter in order to make some additional money after I retired. So, you know, I didn't want cows or pigs or something like that. So alpacas, you just shear them once a year, and it doesn't hurt them. They actually like it. And it is important to do that because of their health, too, because they cannot get overheated with their fleece. So before the summer comes, they're sheared. And so they run around. They really like it after they're sheared. If I had to choose all over again, you know, going back 10 years ago, I definitely would do the same thing I did. I would definitely get alpacas. I love them so much. They're so cute, and they provide so much peace to me.
And now back to our main topic. Lawmakers representing the opposition CCC were at the High Court today challenging the legitimacy of one Sengenzo Shabangu, who claims to be the interim secretary general of the party. Shabangu has been recalling lawmakers and councillors despite a High Court interdict to stop the recalls. Addressing reporters at the High Court, CCC lawyer Obey Shaba said the matter was now postponed to tomorrow.
Last week we appeared before Justice Chitapi, and the matter was postponed today at 2:30 for argument. In the meantime, the judge had given directives, the timelines within which to file our respective papers. The first respondent, Mr. Shabangu, was directed to file his opposing papers by end of business on Thursday, and we were going to file our answering affidavit by end of business on Friday. That hasn't happened because Ms. Shabangu then filed his papers on Friday. As a result, we were only able to file our own papers this morning. So the judge needs time to go through the papers, and we are coming back to court tomorrow at 2:30 for argument. And in the meantime, the interim order which was granted by the court last week remains in force. Ms. Shabangu is not allowed to effect any further recalls until this matter has been finalized.
That there was opposition CCC lawyer Obey Shaba in Harare. One of the lead lawyers representing Shabangu, advocate Louis Uriri, told reporters that his team has filed an urgent High Court application to bar nominated CCC members from contesting the upcoming by-elections under the CCC banner.
It was simply that the parties were unable to meet the deadlines that were set by the judge last week because of system issues. The result was that the matter was postponed until tomorrow at 2:30. Well, we can confirm that the application is being filed. Remember that these people were recalled by the CCC. They challenged their recall in the High Court. The High Court upheld their recall, As a result, we know for a fact, a legal fact, that they ceased to be members of parliament on account of their recall by the Triple C. They then proceeded to file nomination papers under the Triple C, the very same party which had recalled them. Our law knows no such absurdity. The party that recalled them did not sign their nomination papers. They were improperly therefore nominated, and we will be seeking that they be expunged from the list of those that were validly nominated, such that they will not be on the ballot paper.
Advocate, what's the...
That there was one of the lead lawyers representing Sengezo Shabangu, Advocate Louis Uriri in Harare. Meanwhile, Triple C member Jameson Timba was also at the courts. He gave his opinion on the new order filed today, barring nominated Triple C members from contesting in the by-election next month. That was Triple C member Jameson Timba in Harare. Please stay tuned as we take a brief break.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on all our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. And we're also live on YouTube at VOA Zimbabwe. And today we're discussing the fight over the control of the Triple C. We'll also be discussing the urgent High Court application to bar nominated Triple C members from contesting in the upcoming elections in December under the Triple C name. And to discuss the issue, we are joined by Francis Mufambi of ZANU-PF, Godfrey Kurawone of the Triple C, and we're also trying to get hold of Sengezo Shabangu's lawyer, Kobani Sitole, who had said you'd be able to join us. So, welcome to the live talk, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
I'll start off with you, Mr. Kurawone of the Triple C. What do you? What's your take on what we're seeing happening in the courts?
What we are seeing in the courts is marvelous. It's nothing new. It's something that we've seen before. We saw this court taking MDC and NC and donating them to Kodani Kupe, who was a contesting candidate in the same election. That madness has never been seen in this world before, but we saw it happening. So this is nothing new. It's one of the same things that is being repeated. In a quest to get to the majority, we know Shabangu is not by himself. We know Shabangu has no capacity to do whatever he's doing, and we know Shabangu has no capacity even to hire a legal representative. So we know who is behind him. We know who is sponsoring him. We know whose ideas is he fronting. So it's very clear Shabangu is not his own person, but there's a force behind whatever he's doing right now.
Over to you, Mr. Mufambi. You're hearing what Mr. Kurawone there of CCC is saying. What's your take on what we're seeing happening? Does ZANU-PF have a hand in what we're seeing happening in Parliament and in the courts right now?
Okay, good evening, Nazareth, and good evening, listeners. I think let me have to indicate that Chamisa and Chabang's malicious approach to politics is actually exerting a veto on the country with an estimated expenditure exceeding $5 million, culminating from a by-election, which symbolizes political political errors of kindergarten proportion. It is also made for me to add that ZANU-PF has no capability whatsoever to do with the inclusion that is happening in the opposition, as we are focused on delivering a mandate that has been given by the people that will need a law that will lead us for the country. However, we should note that your political animal and the revolutionary party is always ready to participate in all democratic processes, and we are glad that certain sections of the Zimbabwean population have been given another chance to right their wrongs. So it's quite evident, marvelous, that the CCC is not and has never been a viable alternative to Zimbabwe, given not just the event of the past week, but the DNA of the party. It's a party that has been born out of division and from a record of neglect and out of the dilution of responsibility. So we are hopeful that the electorate is witnessing this civil war, and they are also opening their eyes to know what the CCC represents. So for us, actually, an example I can give you is the which shows the ZANU-PF's character, because Comrade Scott never left the masses even after the leaving in August. He actually played the demo for the people of Mabuku. This is the owner, the time that they got from Scott. And they are voting for him, or voting for ZANU-PF is voting for progress and development. And so, of course, we are looking forward to definitely arriving our debt in Parliament and to show mature leadership for the people of Zimbabwe. And then that's not marvelous. Let me highlight that we do not wish to comment on matters before the court, especially when these matters have nothing to do with us.
Toya kwamuri vakuraone muri kunzwa zviri kutaurwa navamufambi. Hanzi aiwa muri kuvazora ivo mafuta enguruve yavasina kubaya. Munoti
it's marvelous. It's very clear to anyone who is eyes. It's very clear to anyone who wants to see. But if you don't want to see, you remain adamant and say that is not involved. But look here, I'll give you a few scenarios. When Chabangu wrote a letter to the speaker said he don't have the mandate to decide who is the real CCC. All he does is to act on the letter written to him. And then this guy who wrote his letter to the same speaker, claiming that he is recalling ZANU-PF MPs. And what did the speaker do? He kept mum as if nothing has happened. So this is a clear indication that he is selectively applying his rule depending on which party is being affected. We don't agree, but we know they are eager to get 2/3 majority so that they can amend the constitution and can remove the 2-term limit for the president. That is the agenda, which is very clear, and we don't.
Vamfambi, you're hearing what Mr. Kurawone is alleging there. He says your party, ZANU-PF, is literally doing this to get 2/3 majority in parliament. Because if this new agent application is done, that means that some CCC members might not be able to contest, meaning that your ZANU-PF candidates will go uncontested in the by-election. What do you say?
What I can actually say is, I know that Kurawone and his colleagues are very aware that they are going to lose these elections because they have cheated the people before. And I know that the CCC and Chamisa's actions are raising a lot of questions, especially about whether they are still engaged in our collective politics or they are yet to transition to the realities of statesmanship. What kind of leadership, marvelous, does not take responsibility for its failures and shortcomings? So how can you put on explain how the NPF was part of them not getting structured? How was the NPF part of them not getting a constitution until today, the written something, the core constitution, which is so undemocratic to support it? So in the broader spectrum, it's clear this party has never been formed to prioritize the interests of the people of Zimbabwe or national unity, but there to push the regional agenda that has been that actually covers the interests of the West. So basically, we don't take seriously all those allegations they're trying to give us. Let me give you an example. Last time when they were killing the MDC, that happened in the MDC, the one for Washington Union, the one for Kendai, and the same Washington Union and Kendai are now coming to them. But those people later came back into their party and they were senior officials in the same party. So how come they are still blaming the MDC for things that they do internally? I don't get it, Marvelous. Thank you.
Mr. Kurawone, you're hearing there, Mr. Mufambi saying that this is an internal matter, you know, it came about because there are no structures in CCC. What's your take?
That is their problem. They think that every political party must be structured in a way that it is structured. They think that every political party should be run in a way that the NPF party is being run. They think that the NPF is the landmark and the benchmark of political parties. No. Each party chooses how it wants to be run. Each party chooses how it wants to be structured. So they expect us to have political. They expect us to have the Center for the Administration. They expect us to have the political committee. We don't want that. We are our own terms. So we govern ourselves the way we want to be governed. So the political party in our they should just accept that we are so, if you don't have, who then was our presidential candidate? Katrina Slater.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they don't know who is who, if they don't have a Slater state, but they want to know so that they can see Slater. But they don't know. But we have them.
Mm-hmm.
It was very clear that Chavangu is not party of that Slater. He is not anyway near the Slater of our party.
Mm. Okay, I have a listener here who's writing on our Shona VOA page, and that's Temba Mugoji saying Shabangu is a ZANU-PF project, so if he takes the case to court, he wins because Ndivo Vakamutuma. Mr. Mufambi, you're hearing there, one of our listeners is saying, no, Mr. Shabangu is definitely a project of your party, because he's been getting access to the courts and he's been listened to by the Speaker of Parliament. Your take.
Okay, definitely. I think I already highlighted to you that I'm not here to discuss matters that I'm sure the court, because that is the prerogative of the court that made decisions. And I'm here to represent the Revolutionary Party, and our position is clear. Our position is that as the Revolutionary Party, we are focused on delivering a mandate that is given by the people. And I'm here also maybe to highlight here that we are, as you heard from Kurawone, he's even confirming that their party is not democratic. He's actually confirming that their party is not a voluntary organization, which political parties are meant to be. He's actually confirming that they are running a cult or more of an oracle, which is bringing Zimbabwe back to the same age, the politics whereby parties were being run by emperors or by those dictatorial leaders. And at this stage, in this modern day, as a party, as ZANU-PF, we fought for democracy, we brought democracy to Zimbabwe, and we get concerned when those people who are saying they are an alternative are actually clarifying to the people that they are not there to bring democracy to the people of Zimbabwe. And it's a difficult development to have such kind of a leadership. And next time, I think we're going to do better in the Zimbabwe party in a much better way, because you can't be here to tell Zimbabweans that you don't believe in structures, because political parties are meant to be voluntary organizations. So how can a person be in a voluntary organization and not get right? How can people actually be the students of Tanzania only in a party, a political party that is meant to become a government in waiting. No, that cannot actually be acceptable.
Mr. Kurawone, if you could respond to what Mr. Mufambi of ZANU-PF just said there.
You know what is my village?
Mm-hmm.
In this whole thing of CCC, Genesis Chabangu, if these people were not involved, I was expecting Mr. Mufambi to just come and say, I cannot comment about CCC issues. I'm not part of it. But the fact that he attempted to defend ZANU-PF on the issue of CCC against Chabangu,
Mr. Kurawone, just give me 1 second. Let me take a caller and I'll come back to you. Hello, caller Makadi.
Ripo Makadiyo.
Aiwa, tiriwadi. Tukitora nani murukupi caller?
Andakunzwa.
Tukitora nani murukupi caller?
Riku Johannesburg, South Africa.
Taurai tinswi.
Hello?
Ehe, taurai fungwa zenyu caller.
Okay, ndarasi kamairana nei.
Tanga turi kutarisa zviri kuitika mumatare panyaya yavasha bangu.
Okay, ndifunge kuti vane right yekurambidza uyu kuti makandidates akondeste muzita rekuti CCC. Handifunge kuti vanayo right iyo. Because president wepati ane right yekuisa makandidates anoda.
Thank you so much, they call her in. Thank you so much, Maita Basakola. There's also Nyasha Jami Sitole from our Facebook page. Arikuti ndokumbira kufunza kuti vachamisa ndiye mutungamiri weCCC akwanise kudzinga here vashabangwava. Vakuraone pindurai tinzwi.
Aogo ndegaita kuti kuti aogona kudzinga munhu asiri memba yepati yako. First and foremost, he has to be a member of the party page and be guided by the rules and regulations of the party. And after that, then the party will be able to take procedures against you in terms of disciplinary hearing and all other disciplinary procedures. But see, can I also remember, he is not part of the CCC.
Saka sisinyasha pamanzwa mufunzo wapindurwa hanzi vashavangwa wagone kudzingwa nekuti havasi chi member ye CCC. Over to you, Mr. Mfambi, if you can give us your last word. I understand where we've lost Mr. Mufambi. So Mr. Kurawone, your last word, then I will just read what some of the listeners are saying here.
Okay, I was saying this to Magula, the fact that Mr. Mufambi was here defending ZANU-PF, the fact that he was here defending Chabangu, and the fact that he was here trying to pop his nose onto CCC and Chabangu issues, it shows that there is great interest in this issue. It shows that they are somehow involved in this issue. If they were not involved, they could just come here and say, no, I cannot answer on issues. I'm not part of him. I cannot answer on behalf of Chabangu. I'm not part of him. But now he was here defending Chabangu. He is defending ZANU-PF, which is not even part of this issue. So it shows that they are involved.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Unfortunately, Mr. Mufambi's line dropped. So thank you there, Mr. Francis Mufambi, who was here on behalf of ZANU-PF. And thank you also to you, Mr. Godfrey Kurawone. And that brings us to the end of our show. Signing off in Washington, our marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.